Good morning. Welcome to worship. Let's stand together, and what better way to kick off a baptism Sunday than singing "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Let's stand and sing together.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. You may be seated.
Morning. It is so good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We do want to begin our service today with baptism. I was supposed to be baptizing today as well, but Nathan had some family problems that they weren't going to be able to be here. So we're going to baptize Nathan on the 19th. So we'll do that then. But Pastor Gabriel does have a young lady that he has led to the Lord that he would like to baptize today. And so we're going to bring her in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to welcome you and thank you for being here. I hope that you picked up one of our bulletins on the way in so that you'll know of all the announcements that are to affect the church body. And some of them have deadlines on them, so make sure you're aware of that. One I want to call your attention to is that we are getting ready to have our discovery class. This class is a special class that is two parts. It's two Sundays in a row from 9:45 to 10:45. And it's for those who are interested in finding out how they can join our church and be a part of our church family. We will have that starting next Sunday and then also on the 19th. If you are interested in that class, if you would like to know, you know, how do you join this church? What does this church stand for? What do we believe? What are our convictions and doctrines that we stand on? Then I want to invite you to be a part of this class. Brandon will be leading that. But we need to know you're coming because we have some special materials that we print up just for you. And so we need to know that you're coming so we can have enough materials. So if you are interested in taking this class, it'll be next Sunday at 9:45 and then again on the 19th at 9:45. Then I would ask if you would to please let me know today so that we can make sure we have the materials ready for you next week. Again, it's good to see you. Thank you for being here. I'm going to pray for us, and after I pray, Dr. Gabriel Molina, our new church planter. I think that's pretty cool. You call him one Sunday, he's going to baptize the next. That's pretty cool, don't you think? But we're going to ask him to come into the water, introduce the young lady to you. I've had a pleasure of meeting her. She's a wonderful, beautiful young lady. I appreciate her being willing to bring her family. It's good to have them here. And she will be baptized today. He'll introduce her to you. But first, let's pray. Our Father and our God, it's good to be in your house of worship on this Lord's Day. Lord, help us to remember that not one of us in this room is here by mistake. That every one of us is here by divine appointment with you. That because you are sovereign and holy, and because you are omniscient and know all things, that long before this date was ever placed upon a calendar, you looked down through time and you knew that on this day, you would call this group of people together into this room so that we could worship you together. So Lord, knowing that we're not here by accident, knowing that we're not here by coincidence, we pray that our hearts will be open to hear and to receive what you have for us today. Guide us in our time of worship. Bless this young lady that's being baptized today. I continue to bless Pastor Gabriel as he is reaching and teaching into a community, Lord, that they want to hear more about you. So we pray, God, that in everything we do today, you will be honored. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sisters, today we want to introduce you to my sister
Maria
Bell.
Beato.
Please come in. You give an applause to my Lord. He's the first to stand in this time, okay? And we are very glad for her. Thank you.
Thank you for having me stay here.
Pasa esta parte de la nariz. Okay. Hace tiempo que te marca. Aquí está bien. No, todavía, ya te aviso. She is nervous, and me too.
I'm more excited.
Okay. The Bible says that baptizes whole nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I will do it with my sister, in the name of Jesus. An applause again.
You're awake now, right? Let's stand and continue our worship this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the your heart is kind for all your
worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever more. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
Good morning. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, I thank you for your offering. I thank you for your many blessings upon this church, Lord. I thank you especially for the blessing this morning of watching Miss Maria come up here and give a public profession to you, Lord, that she is now sealed and she is yours, that she wakes up every morning and her reason for living is Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for that. I want to pray for her and her family in the days ahead. Lord, the enemy never takes a day off. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And you never take a day off either. Lord, thank you for all of this. Blessed be your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We've got a lot to celebrate this morning, don't we? Now, typically when the praise team sings, it may be a song that's a little newer, maybe you're not as familiar with, but I don't think that's going to be the case this morning. So we're going to invite you to stand back up with us, and worship with us. This is a song that most of you know and love. So let's all sing together, Goodness of God.
Running out, it's running out.
I'll confess, as we were standing there singing that song, this has been one of the hardest years since last March that I've ever pastored. It seems that everything that Satan can throw at us, he's through it. But God's been good. God's been good. If you have your Bibles, would you join me in the book of Mark? Mark chapter number 1. Last week, Brandon kicked off our new series called The Servant Messiah. And as he indicated last week, I want to reinforce that today. We're going to be taking our time as we go through the book of Mark. Because it is not only a gospel of Jesus Christ, it is packed full, filled to the brim with information that not only helps us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus, but also in our understanding of His plan for our life. So today we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9. And we're going to read down through verse number 13, which is, this is such, show you how God's got great timing, so fitting for what we've experienced today. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, 'You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased.' And immediately the Spirit brought him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were serving him." Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what, our culture, our world, and even our enemy may throw at us, that you are always bigger and stronger and more mighty than any of those things. And that through you and your goodness and your grace and your mercy, we can stand in the face of those attacks. Lord, we love you. But we know, Lord, that today we've embarked upon a holy and sacred time. We've opened up the Word of God that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that is infallible. It is inerrant. It is authoritative. And today, Lord, we pray that you speak to us through your Word. May our hearts be open toward heaven, our ears in tuned with you. That as we study your word, as we encounter your word, that your word will do what only it can do and transform our lives, changing us at the very core of our being, so that we walk out of here today having been transformed more into the image of Jesus than we were when we entered in. Guide us in our time is my prayer. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, last week we introduced the gospel that was written by John Mark. It's not only the very first gospel that was written, but it's also the shortest gospel in terms of length. Mark's gospel is like watching an action-packed movie. It is filled with activity, and everything moves quickly from one scene to another scene, and not always in chronological order. But here's what we know, that one of John's favorite words is the word immediately. And he uses it throughout his gospel to show that that the world in which Jesus lived in was a world filled with activity, and he was participating in it, carrying out the will of God. Church historians tell us that John Mark had served as an interpreter for Peter and also as his personal assistant for many years as Peter was ministering to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles spoke primarily Greek, and Peter spoke primarily Hebrew and Aramaic. And so sometimes there was a translation issue, and Mark was there because he raised speaking Greek, could understand and interpret. And in this passage we read together today, Peter introduces Jesus to us in a much different way than the other Gospels. The other Gospels introduce Jesus through his genealogies or the event of his birth. But when we're looking at the book of Mark and the Gospel of Mark, we need to understand, as Brandon told us last week, who Mark is writing to. Mark is writing to the Christians that are being persecuted in Rome under Emperor Nero. They're being torn asunder. They're being set on fire. They're being beheaded. They're being crucified and then lit aflame. They're being tortured in every way that a person can be tortured, and they're going through this severe time. And that's who Mark is writing to. And many of the Gentiles had come to faith in Christ through the preaching of Peter and Paul and through the testimony of other Christians. And let's just be honest, genealogies were the least of their concerns. And it was the last thing they needed. They needed encouragement. They needed strength. And that's why Mark writes in the style that he does. So Mark introduces Jesus in his gospel as the servant Messiah, the one who has come to set an example for us, to give us a pattern of courage, strength, and righteousness that we can follow. So in these few verses we read today, I want to share with you two areas where Jesus begins his earthly ministry by setting an example for us. The first area we have read about in verses 9, 10, and 11, we've also seen played out before us today in the ordinance of baptism, and that's where Jesus gives us his first example, the area of baptism. You see, baptism was not unique to Christianity, nor was the origin of baptism found in the ministry of John the Baptist. There had been people baptized for different reasons and into different groups for years and years. And John's baptism was different in that John's baptism called people to repentance of sin. He called people to a devotion to the God and His kingdom. He pointed people inward and said, look, there's something inside of us that's broken that needs to be addressed. We need to repent of our sin. So many may ask, and rightly so, as it's been debated through the years, then if it was all about repentance of sin, then if Jesus is sinless, He's never sinned, why does He need to be baptized? Is there something He's repenting of? I mean, I'm confused, Tommy. If John is saying He's giving a baptism of repentance and Jesus comes to be baptized of John, why? He's sinless. There's nothing for Him to repent of. He is perfect and holy and righteous. He is God in the flesh. He is God incarnate. He is the person of God with flesh on. So why does Jesus come for baptism? And I think His baptism, we will see, is different in two very key ways. The first simply being that His baptism was His identification with God the Father. Now here's what I mean. The baptism of John the Baptist was for people to repent and identify with the people of Israel. and the God that Israel served. It was an identification with a nation, if you will. A nation who was being baptized in repentance, looking toward God, waiting with anticipation for the arrival of the Messiah. God had promised He was going to send a deliverer, and as they were baptized into identification with the nation of Israel, they were saying, as I lay down my sin, I too am looking for that Messiah. That's the baptism of John. But Jesus was not identifying with a particular nation. He was identifying with a kingdom. He was identifying with His Father and His Father's kingdom. He is saying, as He is being ushered into the water, even John said, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said to him, no, this must happen. This must take place, that the Scriptures are fulfilled. And as Jesus is baptized, He is announcing not only that is He identifying not with a nation and not with a group and not with a denomination or anything else. He's identifying with none other than God. He's saying, that's my Father and that's my Father's kingdom. And He is announcing boldly as He is being baptized that I am the Messiah that you have anticipated. Having led the way, now our New Testament believer's baptism represents something so much more than what John the Baptist, his baptism represented. When John the Baptist baptized in the Jordan River, people were saying, I'm identifying with the nation of Israel and the God of Israel. But because of what Jesus has accomplished, as this precious young lady went under the water and back up today, she was saying, I identify with the kingdom of heaven. I'm part of the kingdom now. I have met the King. I have my name has been written down in the register of those who are part of that kingdom. She is identifying with something so much bigger than just a nation. You see, baptism isn't just identifying with a denomination or a particular church or a particular group of people. It's identifying with the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus was opening the door with. Baptism isn't intended to identify us with something so narrow as just a nation. It's intended to identify with us with something so much bigger than we are. The kingdom of God. And if you've been baptized as a born-again, saved by grace believer, can I tell you something? The day that you were baptized, it was not you identifying with a church. It was not you identifying with a denomination. You too, as this young lady did today, was saying, I want everyone to know that I am part of God's kingdom. I'm a child of the King now. Listen, that's so much greater than just being a member of a group, isn't it? Aren't you glad that Jesus saw fit to do something so great and so grand as to open up the door of heaven so that you don't have to identify with a group, but you can identify with a King? But He also, His baptism was different because it was the coming of a new covenant. You see, the baptism of John could only offer people the opportunity to identify with the covenant given to Abraham. As John was baptizing and people said, now I identify with the nation of Israel. They were saying, I'm identifying with the covenant that God gave Abraham, that God gave to Israel. I'm identifying with that covenant. That one day there's going to be a coming of a Messiah and I am to live a separate life until the Messiah comes. But the baptism of Jesus was so much different because it wasn't intended to identify with the covenant of Abraham. It was intended to announce the coming of a new covenant. This covenant is the covenant of grace. This is the covenant of salvation through grace by faith. And it's saying something totally different. Jesus is saying, look, once before you could only identify with something that was way off and yet to become. But now you can identify through baptism with something that is here. The kingdom has come. The doors of heaven are being opened. In fact, Jesus preached, didn't he? That the kingdom of heaven is near. It's here. Listen, you've been looking at it and waiting for it and anticipating it and wishing for it. And Jesus, through his baptism, was to say, you don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to anticipate any longer. It's here. The kingdom has come and the covenant has been honored by God. But now there's a new covenant of salvation by grace through faith. This new covenant was written and sealed with the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Jesus said as much in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, as he is partaking of the Passover on the night that he was to be betrayed. The Bible says, and he, in the same way, he took the cup, and after he had eaten, he said, this cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Something better is coming along now. You see, you don't have to identify with a religion and practice all of the legalistic measures in order to appease God. Now he says, look, if you want to get to God, you don't need a dead animal. If you want to reach God, you no longer need all of the wrappings of the ritualistic sacrificial system, because the Lamb of God has come. Listen to the words of John as he's standing there on the banks of the Jordan River, and Jesus is approaching, and he cries out, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This was a new day. This was a new baptism. This was a new covenant. Now in baptism, we are signifying that we're not part of some old covenant. We are part of the new covenant, that we have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are identifying with that new covenant written in His blood, sealed on the cross of Calvary. As we go under the water, we are saying to the world that the old person who lived under the curse of sin has been buried, and that the new person has arisen to new life in Jesus Christ with victory over sin, because there's a new covenant and it's written in the blood of Jesus. Can I tell you something? As a baptized, born-again believer, long before you were ever baptized in water, the moment you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were baptized by Him into the kingdom of heaven. Baptized by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. Jesus set the example of what believers' baptism would represent. He was starting a new day in the life of those who would come to Christ and would come to God and serve Him. So He is our perfect example in baptism. That's why we celebrate on days like today. You see, in John's day, when a person was baptized, they just celebrated that now they were part of the covenant of Abraham. But now when we're baptized today, we come out of the water celebrating that we are part of the new covenant of grace. Saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, set free by the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You see, He set our example in baptism, but then He also set our example in temptation. We see that in verse number 12 and verse number 13. Is it not hot in here to y'all? I'm going to tell you what, y'all cooking a preacher up here right now. And I'm just about well done. But in verses 12 and 13, Mark tells us that immediately as Jesus comes out of the water, that he is introduced to the world as the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is descending upon him. And as the Father is proclaiming from heaven, this is my Son. And as Jesus, through His baptism, is declaring that He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, we see such a beautiful picture. But then immediately we see that Mark changes gears on us. He says no sooner than He had come up out of the water, this introduction had been made, and then the Holy Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness to be tempted. Why? As we asked, why would Jesus need to be baptized? Because it was what it symbolized, because of what it brought to us, what it ushered in. We see that the overcoming of temptation, it was necessary for Jesus to be tempted. As He is now the holy God that's been revealed to mankind, the Messiah is here. Why must He be tempted by Satan? There's two reasons. The first one is because He's identifying with our humanity. He's identifying with our humanity. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But speaking of Jesus, one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus wanted to identify with our humanity. Yes, He was 100% God. Yes, He was 100% divine. Yes, He was 100% sinless, but He was also man. He was also flesh and blood. He was also a person that was a part of the human race. And He is, as He has opened the doors of heaven, He wants us to know that He's identifying with us. These temptations weren't given to prove to anyone that Jesus was fully God. Jesus knew that. The Father knew that. The Spirit knew that. And believe me, Satan knew that too. The temptations in the wilderness were meant to appeal to the humanity of Jesus. You see, as He's led into the wilderness, the temptations began to come at Him by the enemy of our souls in the same way it comes to us. He tested Him and tempted Him in the lust of the flesh. These stones can become bread. All you got to do is say the word, Jesus. And listen, your flesh is hungry right now. Your body is hungry. Your stomach is growling. And all you have to do, because you are God's Son, you are the Messiah, just say the word and those stones will turn into bread. And not just any bread, some of the best bread you'll ever eat. Lust of the flesh. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, He was saying to him, you're not going to trip me up with the lust of the flesh. Well, what about the lust of the eyes? As He begins to show Jesus all the things that He can provide for him, all of the kingdoms and all of the people that would bow to Him and all of the people that would worship Him. And He's telling Jesus, I can make all of that happen for you. I can give you all of this stuff. And Jesus very quickly, again quoting the Word of God, reminded Him that He already owned all that stuff. You can't give it to me because I own it. My Father's the one who created it, and I am already the legitimate heir and owner of everything out here, so there's nothing you can give me. Then He tested Him with the pride of life. Well, let's just go take a trip up onto the top of the temple, at the very pinnacle of the temple, and just think, Jesus, you're there, and if you cast yourself down, then guess what's going to happen? The angels are going to swoop in, and they're going to keep you from dashing your foot against the ground. You're going to be protected, and listen, all the people are going to look at you, and they're going to say, man, that's awesome. Look at this guy. I want to get to know him. Pride of life. And again, Jesus reminded him that He is the Son of God and He doesn't need those things. You see, He was tempted in every way you are and I am, because He was identifying with our humanity. In order to be our eternal high priest, it was imperative that Jesus endure the weight of temptation. And in doing so, He could provide proof to an entire world that temptations can be defeated through the power of Almighty God. He could show the world that you don't have to be a prey to the enemy. You don't have to give in. You don't have to fall short. You don't have to wear that guilt. You don't have to bear that shame that God is able to deliver you out of these temptations. He was showing the world that humanity, while weak and flesh failing, that the Spirit of God and the power of God working in a person's life could give them victory over temptation. You see, he was trying to identify with our humanity. That's why, listen, when you're going through trials and temptations, and it seems like life gets so heavy, and it's bearing down on you where you can barely breathe, that's why you can turn to your Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus. That's why you can turn to Him and cry out, Abba Father, because He's already walked that trail. He's felt that pain. He's endured that suffering. He has felt the weight of that temptation. He understands what you're going through. And as your high priest, He says to you, I have been through that myself. And I can deliver you out as I was delivered out myself. You see, He can do for you those things because He has identified with your humanity. But then lastly, Jesus was displaying God's power to preserve us. Can I remind you one more time who Mark's writing to? These are people that are being drugged into the quarters of the emperor's guard. And they're being held there in threat of death, and they're being told, now if you'll just renounce the name of Jesus, if you'll just renounce your faith in Christ, if you'll just say the words that you no longer want to serve the one true God, that you want to serve the emperor, if you'll just say those words, you can live. But if you choose not to, can I tell you something? Not only does death await you, it will be a painful, violent, humiliating death. What we'll do is we'll just simply, in tying your hands behind your back, we will strap scraps of meat around your body. And then we will march you out in front of all of the people of Rome. And we'll unleash lions that will then attack you, and they will literally eat you alive. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Let me tell you what else we could do to you. If you don't want to do that, let's take option two. Option two is that we will take you out and lay you down, and we will crucify you by driving spikes in your hands and your feet. And then when we get you onto that cross, we're going to take you out into Nero's gardens. We're going to place that cross there, and then we're going to build a fire around you, and we're going to watch you burn alive. Is that what you want? Then you need to renounce Christ. You need to say that you will no longer serve this God of Israel and that you'll serve the emperor as God. Is that what you want to do? Can you hear the threats being uttered to these Christians in Rome? And many who refused to renounce, they met such fates, being torn limb to limb in a public square, being eaten alive, burned alive. And what Jesus was saying to every person as He marched into that wilderness and as He endured that temptation and as He endured the worst that Satan could throw at Him, what Jesus was saying is, my God is able to deliver. That our Father which art in heaven is not only hallowed and holy, but He's powerful and He's mighty and He's able to overcome everything you'll ever face. Yes, you may have to endure for the night, but can I tell you this? Joy comes in the morning. Let them kill you. What's the worst they're going to do? Just give you an early arrival to heaven. Let them torture you. It may be painful for a moment. It may be excruciating for your family to watch. But can I tell you this? It's going to be worth it when you stand in front of the throne of heaven. And you hear the Father say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have endured." God is able to deliver. The example that Jesus is giving to us by going through these temptations is that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got a stronger. You've got a more mighty. You've got a more powerful God on your hands than this God of this world will ever know. That's what He wants you to know. God can deliver you. God can sustain you. He can strengthen you in those moments when your flesh is weak. We talked about this morning in our youth connect group, how we're talking about Job and how life and the prince of the air and the culture around us and the enemy of our souls, they can crush us. And they do everything they can to crush us. They do everything they can to leave us in heaps on the floor. But we serve a God who's bigger and greater and who is able to deliver, sustain, and encourage us and strengthen us when the whole world falls on top of us. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been in that heap, haven't you? You felt the world cave in on you at the last minute. It was just another day. You were just doing things like you always do. And then with the snap of a finger, the world caved in on you. And there's probably people who can stand up in this congregation right now who can say, "Can I tell you what I found when I was on the floor in pieces and in heaps? My God is able. My God is strong. My God is powerful. My God is able to raise me up out of the ashes. My God is able to put together the pieces. My God can do things that I would have never experienced otherwise." Because He went through the temptation. Jesus understands. He's showing us the truth. As we look at our example of our servant Messiah, the set before us this morning, can I tell you something? We cannot help but stand and say, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That would open up the gates of heaven for me by pouring out His own blood. That would walk through the fires of temptation so that when I stand in that same fire, I can be protected. Hallelujah, what a Savior." The two closing questions that I think we must answer today. The first is this: have you repented of your sins and by faith come to Jesus for your salvation? Are you still trying to identify with a church to get you into heaven? Are you still trying to identify with a religious denomination or a religious group to get you into heaven? Can I tell you something? Jesus showed us through His baptism that doesn't work. There's only one way to have salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the Messiah. And He brings us peace with God. And if you have never done that, then can I tell you there is no better day than today to find yourself in prayer before a holy God, repenting of your sin, confessing that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, that nothing else can save you, and by faith coming to Jesus and saying, I cry out to You, Jesus, to be my Savior. Become part of the eternal kingdom of God and let the covenant of grace wash over your brokenness. The second question is, in your moments of trial and temptation, what are you leaning on to give you strength not to fall? Are you leaning on a person? trying to lean on your spouse or your children or your parents? Are you trying to lean on a church? Are you trying to lean on a denomination? Are you trying to lean on something else? Can I tell you, all these things are failure. It's not because they don't love you. They do. It's not because they don't want to help you. They do want to help you. They're not able. You don't have to fall prey to the enemy. When you turn to Jesus as your Savior and as your example, I want you to know that He can whisper in your heart and in your ear, as your high priest, I understand the pressure you're under, and I am here to give you power and strength by the Father God to walk out of this fire. So do you know Jesus personally? Have you been baptized into His kingdom? And what are you leaning on in your moments of trial? In just a moment, we're going to stand together. We sing together. The whole purpose behind that is just to give us an opportunity to make a decision with what we've heard today. That's why we sing this song at the end. This altar is always open. If you feel led to come and kneel and pray in this altar and just pour out your heart to God, you're welcome to do that. If you want to pray where you are and you want to cry out to God to save you from your sin, if you want to cry out to Jesus to rescue you by becoming your Savior, then you can do that wherever you may be. It may be that today you're under the gun. The pressure's on. The heat's rising. And it's bearing down on you awful hard, and you're wondering how you're going to make it. How you're going to make it out of it. Greater is He that is in you if you're a believer than he that's in the world. God can sustain you. Jesus can give you strength if you'll only let Him. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we come into Your presence to say thank You for being our deliverer. Thank You for being the God of the universe who has all power, all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that in Your baptism you displayed for us the opening of the kingdom's doors, inviting all who will come to come and receive salvation through You. I thank You, Lord, that You endured those temptations, that You felt the weight and the pressure of the enemy upon You, so that when I and those in this room find ourselves in that same situation, we know that there's a God who is mighty and powerful to save that we can turn to. Lord, we love You. I pray if there's one person sitting in this auditorium right now, Lord, maybe they have a religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe they're good, maybe they're moral, but they've never come to a place of repentance in their life and turned to Jesus for salvation. I pray that today will be the day, Lord. And for that one that's struggling in this room, who's crushed under the weight, may they find in You, Lord Jesus, today the power and the strength to stand and to continue on in Your grace. Do for us in these next few moments what only You can do, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. White as snow, Lord, now Thank you so much for being here today. God bless you. I hope that Lord used the service in some way to be an encouragement to you. Thank you to family coming today and supporting this young lady. Thank you for that. Dr. Molina, you and Miss Kimberly want to go with me back to the back and greet everybody. You can, y'all. How many of you know Spanish where you can speak to them? I'm just curious. I'm kidding. They speak English enough, you can do it. They can do it. No big deal. I'm going to let them come back there and join me. Josh, you got a closing song? How fast can you run back there and join me too?
Run? I'm not running.
You're not running? You'll walk back there? This is the first Sunday Josh is officially our interim worship leader, and we are so proud that he is in that position now. And this is our first Sunday with Dr. Gabriel with us as our Spanish church planter. So I wanted you to have an opportunity to speak to them if you get that. Go out through the back door. We'll do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the privilege of being able to call you our Father. You are good and you are holy. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We pray, Father, that you'll just give us strength in those days when we're weak. We pray, Lord, that we'll always look to you as our high priest and our guidance. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for this day. We pray your blessings on each person in this building. Just dismiss us now with your great love is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.